Good evening and welcome to our evening message and Bible study. Tonight we're going to be reading from the book of Matthew, so find your Bible and be opening it up to the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, and then find the 24th chapter in Matthew. And we're going to look at the first 13 verses here tonight in Matthew 24. And while you're turning there, let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, tonight as we come to read your word and to hear from you and to hear you speak unto our hearts in this day in which we're living, Father, we pray that you would give us an ear to hear and a receptive heart, Lord, that we would be willing and ready to make the necessary changes that you might ask us to make. Lord, that we would become more and more like you. And Father, since we're going to be speaking about salvation tonight, Lord, I pray that each one of us would examine our hearts, just as the Bible encourages us. Father, that we would not take our salvation for granted or think we've got it made, but Lord, that we would really make certain that we have this kind of salvation that's required for heaven. So Lord, as we think about these things tonight, and as your word speaks to us, just open our ears, open our heart, and Lord, do the work that only you can do in us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, in Matthew 24, we read, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Well, I want to begin tonight by sharing something with you that Lloyd Corey wrote in his book, Quotable Quotes, and this is what he wrote. He wrote, "One historian says that the average age of the world's great civilizations is a duration of about 200 years. Almost without exception, each civilization passed through the same sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to leisure, from leisure to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, and complacency to apathy, and from apathy to dependence, from dependence to weakness, from weakness back to bondage." Now, family and friends, I don't know if you've ever taken the time to study all the great kingdoms of the world, but if you have, you will no doubt have discovered the truth of Lloyd Corey's words here. Everything starts and stops at bondage. And you might be wondering why. Because everything that man does rotates on the axis of depravity. This is what Jesus is describing for us here in our text. The disciples, they were amazed, they were thrilled, they were filled with pride over the building of the temple. To their minds, the temple was a great kingdom, and they expected Jesus to set up his residence there soon. To the disciples' minds at this point, they're like the minds of many Christians today. They're asleep at the wheel because they become too comfortable in the world in which they live. It's the very reason that Paul wrote to the Christians living in Rome the following words, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Romans 13:11, for those of you who are taking notes. Family and friends, it would behoove us greatly to remember we are not to be conformed to the image of this world. We're not to become comfortable down here in this world. We are, however, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so Christ is the one who is speaking to us tonight. And Christ says this is one of the signs that is going to occur before the coming of Jesus Christ. And he's referring here in Matthew 24, as he mentioned, the love of many is going to grow cold. He's describing an age of apostasy. And what is apostasy? Apostasy is the turning away from the truth of God's word. And only a fool would deny that we are not living in that time. Many, many people today have turned away from the truth of God's word. And so what we are witnessing today are far too many of God's people who have gotten up and moved away from God. And rather than be conformed to the image of Christ, they are being molded and conformed into the image of the world. And when we think about this, we could say it so much so that they are unwilling to surrender their lives to the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all know the truth of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And there are many who agree with God on that, but their lives show no visible signs of being transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. In other words, they came as the old man. They profess something. They profess they believe in Jesus, but instead of turning around and living as the new man, well, they're still living as the old man. Nothing's changed. There's no visible sign of transformation. And so we all, as I mentioned, we all know the truth of John 3:16, and we all love that verse, but there are many who agree with God on that, but there's no visible change. In the words of the Apostle Paul, describe far too many today who claim faith in Christ. See, remember what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This is what he wrote. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lover of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so what Paul is describing here with these words is the world in which you and I are living in today. And they describe both the unbeliever and then the false professor. So how can we know that our faith in Jesus Christ is the real deal? By heeding the words of our Savior, who said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so right away we discover something that we need to know. It's imperative. Belief in God, belief in Jesus Christ, coming to understand John 3:16 in all of its fullness, means that something has to happen. We were going down life this way as an old man, but we came to know Christ, and the Bible uses old man to describe the person we were before we came to Christ. And when we come to Christ, Jesus is saying we must repent. Well, what does that mean? It means that if this is the road we were going down, we turn around and we no longer go down that road. We start going down this road because we've been transformed by the power of His grace. We've repented of our sin over there, and we're trying to live for God now over here. That's what that means. So unless you repent, Jesus says, ye shall all likewise perish. So belief in Jesus begins with repentance. We must repent of our sins. And this means we are not just sorry for our sins, as some folks are when they get caught in when they're doing wrong. You know, it means we turn away from our sins. It means we no longer make excuses for them when we turn away from them. As someone once said long ago, we either turn or we burn. Family and friends, the Bible commands us to examine ourselves. You say, where is that, preacher? Well, one of those places is 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. This is what Paul wrote. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Well, what is a reprobate? A reprobate, according to Webster's, is a depraved or an unprincipled person. Paul wrote, that's how many are going to be living in the last days, and we are witnessing this today because all around us, we are surrounded by depravity. Our world and our own nation has lost its moral compass. But we could say it's not just our own nation, it's our own state. It may be our own government. It may be happening right here in Russell County. But then we have lost our moral compass. And sadly, there are many who think they believe in Jesus because easy believism is rampant in religion today. Easy believism says, believe and you will be saved. Easy believism does not call for you to repent of your sins. Easy believism says repentance is not necessary. Easy believism says just pray this prayer and you're good to go. All you need to do is ask Jesus to save you, but you go on living just as you are. There's no necessary reason for you to change. But Jesus, standing against all of that, are the words of Jesus who said, unless ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Family and friends, do you understand that no one can have salvation in Jesus Christ unless they have repented of their sins? That's what the Bible teaches. No one can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior apart from repentance. And I want you to note, first of all, the words that fell from our Savior's lips. He says in verses 4 and 5 here in our text, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Well, allow me to ask you a question here, because the first point that Jesus makes is there will be many deceived and many deceivers. And so allow me to ask you, have you been deceived by the beliefs of easy believism? Were you taught to believe and you will be saved? Or were you taught to repent in order to be saved? And I will say it again, Jesus said, Luke 13 and 3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so the challenge tonight is for each one listening to examine ourselves as the Bible commands in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine our claim of faith. To be certain, We have not been deceived by the teaching of easy believism. That's why we need to examine ourselves. True faith and belief in Jesus can never occur apart from repentance. Friend, have you repented of your sin? Has there been a transformation in your life? You came as the old creature, the old man. You came and you knelt. Did you repent? If all you did was come and ask Jesus to be your Savior, but you never repented and you're still living as the old person, the old creature, you do not have salvation. Unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so I will say it again. True faith and belief in Jesus will never occur apart from repentance. And to repent means we turn away from our sin in order to follow Jesus. Family and friends, of this you can be certain. The Word of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. But for any of us to experience the grace of God, we have to come to grips with this. We must repent in order to receive Jesus. And Jesus said in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And so how does a man, woman, or child come to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How does a man, woman, or child know that they have eternal life? The answer to those questions, friend, is found in the answer to this question. Have you repented of your sins? The Bible teaches that no man can receive Jesus who has not repented of their sins. And Jesus commanded that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? Beginning at Jerusalem in Luke 24 and 27. The question is not, do you believe in Jesus, but have you repented of your sins so that you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The only way to receive remission and the forgiveness of sin is to repent of them. Why is this so important? Why am I speaking so hard about this need for repentance? Because, number one, the Bible does. But number two, why is it so important? Because we are living in the last days. We don't know how much time we have. As we've been speaking here on these Wednesday night messages over the course of the last month, we do know this. We are the last generation before Christ returns. We are living in that time that Jesus spoke about. And so we don't know how much time we have. And it would behoove us to be certain that we're ready when Jesus comes. Because the next great event on the Christian calendar is the rapture of the church. And the Bible speaks of that. We are living in the time spoken of right here in our text by Jesus Christ. We are quite literally living in the days of this prophecy, and it is my calling to make certain you understand the truth about salvation. Family and friends, for a moment, just for one moment, imagine the horror that is going to be felt by those who've been deceived by the teachings of easy believism. Now remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 to 23, and you can turn back there. Jesus had these words to say, beginning in Matthew 7 and 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so right away, Jesus says there's going to be many in the last day. There's going to be many who are going to cry out unto him, Lord, Lord, And he says they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father for all mankind? The will of the Father for all mankind is to repent of their sin, that they might receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that the transforming power of Almighty God can go to work in their heart and in their life. And friend, when you meet Jesus, he only gets sweeter as the days go by. Now verse 22, he says, many will say to me in that day. And so you're going to have many people who are going to cry out, Lord, Lord. Jesus is going to say, you know, you're not getting in. And they're going to say this to him, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I can hear it in the modern church. Lord, don't you remember that time I prayed to come to Jesus? And Lord, don't you remember I got baptized? And Lord, don't you remember my name's on the membership roll? And Lord, don't you remember when I served as a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or even a pastor? Lord, don't you remember those things? Friends, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. And so the excuse given here is a works answer. Lord, don't you remember the things that I did for you? Friend, we ought to be remembering what Jesus has done for us. It was his blood that was shed on the cross to save us from our sins. And his will is that all who will receive him will repent of their sins. And so he goes on and he says, and then I will profess unto them, verse 23, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that's the phrase and the reason why they're not getting in. You see, there was never any transformation in their life. It was just words, mouth. But there was never any receiving of Christ. And because there was never any receiving of Christ, their life never changed. Listen, Jesus accepts you just as you are, but he's not going to leave you as you are. He is a transforming God, and God transforms us, and he brings us life, not death. And if we're going to continue to live as an old person, all we have is death, and all we have is excuses. And so this is the reason. They're given a works answer. They never received the grace of God. And Jesus said, you're still in your sin. Well, how will this occur? How could something like this ever possibly happen? And Jesus gives us the answer back there in verses 4 and 5. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. There will be many deceived and many deceivers. Family and friends, we are so close to the rapture of the church that in the breast of every true believer, the heart palpitates. Many among us are waiting to hear the trumpet sound and the shout to come and the call to meet the Lord in the air. But just for a moment, think how sad it will be for those who will be left behind. And so thus it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit of God will move mightily among those hearing this message tonight. It is my hope that all who claim faith in Jesus Christ have repented of their sin in order that they will have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Why is this so important? Again, because the rapture could occur at any moment. Scripture teaches that it's going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come, the writer of Revelation cried. Heaven's just around the corner, friend. Soon we will be face to face with our Lord. For all who hold firm to the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. What Jesus says to the disciples here should encourage us, for we are living in the day when these words of our Lord are about to be fulfilled. But think just how asleep people are today. why some folks think the world will get better and better. Some folks believe that man has the wisdom to overcome all the problems he creates. But how can this be? When the Bible teaches that every man, if left to himself, he will fulfill every depravity that is written in this Word of God. Man is a depraved creature. Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, who can know it? The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The depravity of man is the reason all of man's kingdoms fall. Man is immoral. And you know the truth of this as well as I do. Just think of some of the thoughts that go through your head. Think of some of the words that have flown out of your mouth. Think of some of the actions that you have committed. Think of some of the fantasies that you have thought of. You know this as well as I do. Left to ourselves, we are immoral creatures. Man is an immoral creature. He will not get better and better. He'll just wax worse and worse until he comes to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in him. Then man can get better, but until then, man will never get better. And the policies of so many of our Democratic Party politicians just reaffirm this truth. The man is utterly depraved. I never thought I'd see the day when the rights of animals were considered more important than the rights of a human being. I never thought I'd see the day when, in the midst of a global pandemic, governors and leaders are pushing for abortion. I never thought I'd see the day when America would turn its back on God, but it has. When the leaders of our nation push the depravity buttons continually, we know two things. First, we know they know nothing about the Bible. And second, they no longer deserve to remain in office. Not if we want God to bless America again. The moral compass of our society today screams loudly of our great need for revival. That's what's needed in America today, to return to the truth that is contained in God's holy word. And it needs to be declared from the pulpits of God's house to the people of this nation today, to the people in the White House, to the people in Congress, to the people in the Senate, and especially to the person sitting in the governor's chair in this great state of Virginia. What's missing today are preachers who will stand in the pulpit and declare, "Thus saith the Lord." What's missing in our world today is God's truth. And until you and I as believers in Christ take a stand on God's truth, many are going to continue to be deceived. And Jesus says, the love of many will grow cold. That's what the lack of knowledge of God's word does. Listen, when we go to the house of the Lord, we should be hearing the word of God, not the opinion of some man. And yet, sadly, too often what is heard in the pulpits of American church today is the falsehood of easy believism. Let's not rock the boat. Let's not talk about sin. Let's not tell people they need to repent. Let's just tell them they're okay. Do the best you can. Come on back again next Sunday. Friend, we need to hear the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is we need to repent. What we need today are men and women who are willing to stand up and declare, "Thus saith the Lord." And I'm amazed at how the greatest nation in the world is also the most spiritually illiterate nation in the world. Think about this. America, for 244 years, has been the nation with the greatest freedoms in the world. Yet we have become just like Lloyd Corey described. We have moved from a society from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence on our government, a government that has forsaken God, a government that claims all religions are equal. Is it any wonder that both false faith and government in America has moved us from dependence to weakness. We are quickly speeding along as a society back into bondage. Jesus tells us plainly here in our text that there are going to be many deceived and many deceivers. He tells us there are going to be spiritual bailouts because the love of many will grow cold. Has your love grown cold? We already know that we are living in an age of great ecological turmoil. Famines, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis are occurring with greater and greater and greater frequency. Persecution of the saints is growing bolder and bolder and bolder with each passing day. Do you realize there are more Christians being martyred for their faith today than at any other time in the world's history? We are living in the days of this prophecy. That's why it is imperative that the faith we claim is built on the foundation of repentance. What's needed in America and in the church today is a Holy Spirit revival. We have to be sound asleep not to understand the words of our Lord are being fulfilled right now. And yet, sadly, that's just how many are. They're sound asleep. They go on and they think everything's just going to continue. Oh, this little thing that we're going through right now, it'll get over and then we'll go on. Well, let me ask you this. What if this is a timeout? What if God has stopped us that we might focus again back upon God? Because in just a moment, just around the corner, the trump's going to sound, the shout's going to come, and the church in the world will be gone. Then what? Will you be one of those who are going heavenward? Or will you be one of those who are left behind? Many today, friends, are sound asleep. The Word of God encourages us to examine our faith. Why? Because many today have swallowed the Kool-Aid of easy believism, a belief that says one does not have to repent in order to be saved, and those that teach that heresy are deceivers, and those who believe it are deceived. They're a false professor. And Jesus said, in this day there are going to be many deceivers and many deceived. Do you know the truth about salvation? Or have you been deceived? Is your faith authentic? Will your faith stand up to the stresses Jesus says will come? Do you realize that the builders of the Titanic should have been wise? They should have been so wise. The luxury liner sank because contractors settled for cheap rivets and suffered from poor planning. Rivets are the glue that hold the steel plates together. Facing a shortage of quality bolts, the builders used substandard ones that popped their heads upon impact with that iceberg. How sturdy are the bolts of your faith? Are the bolts of your faith built with the steel of repentance, or are they built on something else? Jesus said, unless ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Let us pray. Father, tonight, as we close this very important message on repentance, oh Lord, I just pray for those outside the church who have not yet received Christ, that if they're listening tonight, that they would know that their greatest need is to get right with Jesus by coming to Him and repenting of their sin and asking Jesus Christ to save them. And for that person, they might pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. But Lord, tonight I come to you and I repent. I renounce my sin. Lord, I don't want to live like I've been living anymore. I want you to come into my life. I want to receive you as my Savior. And Lord, I want you to begin your transforming work in my life right here, right now. And then there might be a Christian in name only. They've been coming to church all their life, but the truth of the matter is they fit in better with the kingdom of this world than they would fit in with the kingdom of God, because there's never been any change in their life. They've never truly received Jesus. They just like hanging out with God's people. But if truth be told, and one day it will, they've never asked Jesus truly to be their Savior. Oh, they've completed all the steps. They went forward and told the pastor they needed to be saved, but they never repented. They've been baptized. Their name's on a church roll, but if truth be told, they've never changed. And tonight, with the words that are spoken, they see their need for repentance. And I pray tonight for you that you will repent of your sin, that you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the very first time. That when that great day comes and that shout comes and the trumpet goes off, that friend, you'll be flying home heavenward, not just singing a song, but you'll know for certain and have the assurance that one sweet day you will fly away with His church. And I just pray that the words of this scripture and the words of this message would find a home in our heart. And so I just wonder tonight in closing, what is God saying to you, my friend? What is God saying to you, brother? What is God saying to you, sister? How sturdy are the bolts of your faith, you claim? Are the bolts of your profession of faith built with the steel of repentance? I hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.